You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Transmitted by wire.
Here is the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gab, gab, gab. Always gossiping.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Well, guess what? John and Gordy aren't here. I'm Matt Rothschild subbing in for them. They'll be back this afternoon from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network, and they'll be back here in their regular slot tomorrow morning. But I'm delighted to be here with Dom, their terrific producer.
Thank you.
And with you, if you want to call, 608-879-8255. We're talking about politics. We'll be talking about birds in the next half hour. Always happy to hear your bird reports. First, I want to just, if you're waking up, let you know that the fog is really thick here in Madison.
It is so bad.
And if you're in the outskirts, as I was when I drove in, you got to be extra careful because the side roads are just covered with fog. It's like driving through pea soup is the old cliche. I say driving through a field of cotton candy. And you got to be careful, and especially as you're merging into the faster roads like 14 or 90-94 or 51, you want to make sure that you're driving at an appropriate speed. And look out for each other out there because it's tricky. The number to call here is 608-879-8255. And now, thrilled to have on the stream, Jim Santel. Jim Santel is the host of Amicus, a law review on the weekends here on Civic Media. I think it's the best show on Civic Media. It is the most informative show on legal issues that you're going to find anywhere, as far as I'm concerned. I rely on it, and I love listening to Jim. So welcome to the show, Jim.
Matt, it is a delight and honor once again to be with you early morning, even amidst the treacherous driving out there. And again, good for to tell everybody to be especially attentive to that. And cotton candy, as you say, out there in the streets. Cotton candy in Washington, D.C. as well, and Eastern Virginia too, right? So lots of ways that that particular phrase, that metaphor can be used in America this morning.
Well, I was lucky to have you, to invite you on before I knew what the news was going to be. I asked you right. last week to join, not knowing that right. We'd have this dismissal right. Of the indictments against James Comey and Letitia James. Why don't you walk us through why this dismissal happened?
Yeah, it's hugely significant, although just a teaser for something I'll say in just a moment or so. And that is, it's not the big issue, believe it or not. There are others out there which we can and should also talk about, Matt. These are two cases. They're both criminal indictments. They were turned by a grand jury, which is also significant, in Eastern Virginia. This is not out of Washington, D.C. This is Eastern Virginia. And as your listeners will certainly know, because they're attentive and thoughtful and conscious of these kinds of important things in America, Jim Comey, in a two-count indictment a number of weeks ago, alleged by the grand jury, by the Department of Justice, for having lied to Congress about some engagement with the media through a subordinate of his back in 2020. Letitia James, completely different factual predicate. She is alleged to have engaged in bank fraud, mortgage fraud, and her purchase of a home in Norfolk, Virginia, also 2020, interestingly. And the allegation there is that she lied in the bank documents about the uses of that home. Allegedly, she said that it would be only for her personal and family purposes. And in fact, they maintain it was for rental purposes. Some real problems with the substance of both of those. And if they go to trial, neither one of them, I would predict, would be substantively supported. There are issues in both sides that indicate that there just wasn't a crime committed. But that's not the issue, Matt, as you well know and your listeners know. What happens is that both of these cases are the product of what our president saying to the attorney general, I want these people and others who are my political adversaries, I want them indicted. He says they're guilty as hell, his words, not mine. He repeats that. There's a September 20th statement and a Truth Social post to the attorney general saying, why aren't these people being indicted? And what happens is to both of them, there's a U.S. attorney, Trump appointed, he's an interim U.S. attorney, named Eric Siebert, and he looks at all this for months. He's looking at this, and he comes back and he says, no, there's nothing there to see at all. And he closes the case, and of course, he's almost immediately fired. He says he resigned. Doesn't matter. He's gone within hours. Donald Trump turns around and says, okay, I'm putting somebody else in there. Puts in then, this is the point of this morning's discussion, which everybody's talking about, puts in a confidant, a lawyer, and she's in the White House. She is plainly been with him for a while. Her name is Lindsay Halligan, and she's an insurance lawyer. Nothing wrong with insurance work, but has not done any criminal prosecution at all in her time. She goes over to Eastern Virginia, takes this spot, and within days, she's in front of the grand jury. She's presenting these two separate indictments, two different times. They're not quite contemporaneous. And the question that's first raised, among other very important things, is, does she have authority to do that in the wake following the first appointment of this Eric Siebert? And the question is the president here stacking appointments in a way that the statute does not contemplate? A little bit more background on that. It's arcane. It's weird. You wouldn't describe the world this way. You wouldn't craft the world this way, Matt, if you had to. But when you've got a vacancy in a U.S. attorney position, the president does have a limited period of time, 120 days, to appoint a U.S. attorney. I was one of those U.S. attorneys way back when, before I was presidentially appointed. And then after that, when it expires, it's the courts that have to appoint or upon Senate confirmation. But you can't stack 120-day periods of time and just keep putting people in the position. So both Letitia James and James Comey, through their lawyers, say, wait a minute, no authority here. She's not properly there. She's not the U.S. attorney under the statutory interim appointment proposition. Therefore, can't be in front of the grand jury, can't sign off on indictments. They're no good. They're illegal. They're unconstitutional. There's no foundation for them. They should be dismissed. And yesterday, not surprisingly, a federal district court judge, we can talk about her as well. Her name is Cameron McGowan Curry. Interestingly, she is not from Eastern Virginia. She's brought in to address some ethical issues related to having other judges handle the case. She finds in a very extensive, easy reading, and I suspect, Matt, as you know well, she finds that the defendants are right and that Lindsay Halligan had no authority to do this. President's appointment invalid. She invalidates the indictment, says no good, and she throws them out, and she says the cases are done. Now, she does that with prejudice, which means that they can be brought back. But for now, that's the basis for what happened. That's the headline news of yesterday.
Why would she do
no small thing?
Why would she do it with prejudice instead of without prejudice, well, so they couldn't bring it back?
I'm sorry. She said without prejudice. Okay. Just the opposite of
Why wouldn't she have done it the other way and precluded further prosecution?
Right. She could do that. And of course, your listeners understand with and without prejudice. With prejudice means you can't bring it back. Without prejudice means, yeah, you can bring this back again. She describes that also in her order. There are a couple of different considerations here. One is that if, in fact, there is a U.S. attorney appointed by the courts and or confirmed by the Senate who does have the authority, she wants to say she's not deciding on the merits, the underlying merits, which, again, are problematic here. But she says, you know, if you get the right person there, you can do this. And so she's leaving open that door of a possible future prosecution because she's not resolving this on the merits, giving the government basically a break on this, if you will. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is, as many people have noted, and the reason why these cases, in particular Comey's case, was prosecuted so quickly, had to get in there, had to get this done within days of Eric Siebert's leaving, was that the statute of limitations ran. This was events conduct in September of 2020. Add 5 years to that, you come up with September 2025, case goes away. There is a fairly compelling argument that even with what the judge has done, which is keep open the possibility, the statute of limitations has run and you cannot bring it back as to him because of timing. So again, she does, I think, probably the right and judicious thing, but there are also problems in both of these cases with what happens next.
And Jim Santel, you've talked about the underlying merits of the case. I don't want to get into those weeds, but because before you get to those weeds, there are other procedural issues. I mean, number one, you mentioned Trump saying they're guilty as hell. That's got to be prejudicial for any jury to have the President of the United States claim, assert that they're guilty before trial. And then there's this whole question of vindictive prosecution. In both instances.
Right.
So even before you get to the merits of the charges, they could get off on an argument that the jury's been prejudiced or that this is vindictive prosecution. On top of that, there is also the ridiculous poor legal handling of the indictment against Comey. So,
Absolutely.
Go anywhere you want.
Three different things. Lots to unpack, right? Right. Again, talk about cotton candy soup and lots of things, but it's all very serious. Both driving is serious, and this is very serious, again, because what's happened here? There are individuals who have been indicted. That's the single most significant thing, Matt, you and I have talked about this, single most significant thing a government can do to anyone. Yes, there's a death penalty out there for some states. That trumps everything, obviously, but when you think about it, what are the things the government, it's not taxes, it's not driving well on the roads or with regulations. It's charging people and potentially depriving them of their liberty. That's why these things are so very important. And yes, this issue related to getting rid of these cases because there's no authority for the prosecutor, that's significant. But from my estimation, that's the least of the issues here. And as I look at this right now, I think the one you identified is at the top of the list. You've got the president, literally, in connection with James Comey's petition, there's a similar one for Letitia James. They attach a 50-page addendum to their motion, chronicling all the things that Donald Trump has said about James Comey in the public domain, suggesting, again, all kinds of things I won't even repeat on morning radio, but also suggesting that he wants him indicted. For what reason, we don't know, just that he's a bad person and worse. That is vindictiveness. That's also called a selective prosecution, as you've indicated. James Comey has said, wait a minute, there are other people who also appeared in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, other congressional committees, and they may have lied too. I'm being selectively prosecuted here, but the vindictive prosecution is the big one. And as you and I have chatted in many other forums, my friend, this is the one that goes to the relationship between the White House and the Department of Justice. This notion that there should be a clear and unbreachable wall between those two things. It's been true of every administration except Donald Trump's, where the president should not be dictating who is charged, who isn't charged. That's a matter for, frankly, a grand jury deciding, again, at a trial jury level, the petit jury, who is going to be convicted. Those things are not things that a president should be deciding for political reasons. And that's the big issue here, too. That is still pending before another judge. His name is Nachmanoff. He's the judge who's actually going to try this case if ever it comes back. And he's got pending in front of him. And he already had a hearing in part on this issue and was very close, I think, to saying, yes, this is horrific. And from my perspective, this is the one that needs to be told to the American people, to the Department of Justice, to Pam Bondi, Lindsey Halligan, and to Donald Trump. Can't do this. Cases need to be dismissed for that reason also.
You're listening to the John and Gordy Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for them. That's Jim Santel of Amicus Alaraview, this terrific show that is on the Civic Media Radio Network on the weekends. We'll be right back and we'll pick up this conversation of what's happening to our Justice Department. Stay tuned for that.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the John and Gordy Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for the guys who will be back this afternoon from 2 to 5 on the Civic Media Radio Network and back in their regular slot tomorrow morning. I'm delighted to be joined by Jim Santel. He is the host of Amicus Law Review on the Civic Media Radio Network on the weekends, the most informative legal show you'll listen to ever. I do want to caution
you're much too kind.
Caution people who are just waking up right now. It is really foggy. It's like driving through an SOS pad out there.
I knew you were going to say it. There you go.
I tried to find a new metaphor. Sick of the pea soup, but I'll settle for cotton candy too. So anyway, right. Jim, before the break, we were talking about this vindictive prosecution that Donald Trump's Justice Department, Pam Bondi, Lindsey Halligan have been pursuing. And I looked up an old phrase, give me the man and I'll find the crime. This is an old authoritarian line that's been attributed to the Soviet secret police chief, Beria. And it means if you have the person that you want to attack, you can find evidence to convict them of a crime, regardless of their guilt. You don't know what crime they've convicted yet, but committed yet, or that you're going to charge them with, but you're just going to grab them and then concoct something, essentially. And it's also been attributed something similar was written by Cardinal Richelieu. That goes way back, where he said, show me six lines written by the most honest man in the world, and I'll find enough therein to hang him. And so this is what we have with Donald Trump. He doesn't make any bones about it. He doesn't beat around the bush. I mean, he just says these guys are guilty as hell. Go prosecute them. What is that doing to the – you worked in the Justice Department. You were a U.S. attorney. This must just be devastating to career lawyers in the Justice Department.
It is, undeniably. And you know that not just because of people like me. I've spent all my career doing just the opposite of this, doing things based upon the facts and the law and not being influenced, not one day, by political views and perspectives. Nobody from the top in 30 years, Matt, ever called me, told me, you know what, we've got to get this person. It was just the opposite. In many ways, the role of an assistant U.S. attorney, Department of Justice lawyer, is to say no when there's nothing there, right? And we got just the opposite. And that's why the quotes that you just are so telling. That's precisely what's going on here. And it's not just me. It's not just other folks around the country who are saying this. We're seeing huge numbers of Department of Justice people departing for exactly this reason. I think the number, according to the Washington Post, is somewhere around 5,500 employees of the Department of Justice have left. And again, I haven't verified that independently, but if it's even half of that, that is a huge vacation, meaning vacating their spots of those important positions. You're losing the expertise. You're losing the non-political, apartisan perspective that's always animated the Department of Justice. And therefore, you'll have more of this. And that's why I am hopeful that even after the big news of what the judge did yesterday, saying that, you know, this cannot be the law, you can't appoint and then just continue to stack these terms. The bigger issue, and I'm still hoping that somehow the federal judge who's assigned to this, Nachmanoff, addresses all this, because that's the big one. That's telling Donald Trump, you cannot do this. This is not America. It's not just because it's history or policy. It's because it upends the rule of law. If you can go into a grand jury and pursuant to exactly what you said, the Richelieu comments and others, I can go into a grand jury and indict anybody. Again, the other issue here, what is it you say to the grand jury? Also, the third issue here, then who among us is safe, if you will, from unfounded prosecution? And it also undermines generally the grand jury process, which has been out there for 236 years, Matt. Is there anybody who's waking up this morning who knows about the news yesterday who says, well, gee, sounds like this system may be a little bit bankrupt if I can go in there and get this kind of a result? And it isn't, except when people in these positions of responsibility abuse it. And to that point, you already made the other point, the second issue here, Lindsey Halligan going into that grand jury and not only messing up the indictment with who knows what and strange papers and things going on here, not making it clear, but she also said to, and this should also justify the dismissal of the Comey indictment. She told the grand jury, don't worry, two things. One is don't worry, we can basically compel the defendant to testify against himself. He doesn't have a Fifth Amendment right. And then went on to say, and oh, by the way, if you don't think we got enough evidence here, there's more. We'll present that at trial. It might even be better stuff. So just go ahead and indict. Those comments, although I've said them in kind of a lighthearted tone, are deathly serious. They're violations of the process. It's government misconduct. It's grand jury abuse. Yeah, they're misstatements, wild misstatements of the law. She basically said the Fifth Amendment doesn't apply and you don't have to decide on the facts before you. Those are stunning representations, shocking, and those also independently justify the judge getting rid of at least the Comey indictment. Who knows what she said in connection with the Letitia James indictment? All three of these things warrant a clear statement to Donald Trump and to Pam Bondi. Knock it off. You're done, and you're going to lose these cases. Dismissed. They should be ultimately, Matt, with prejudice. Don't ever bring these back. That's what the judge now should do.
And the judge may, the other judge may rule on the vindictiveness charge too, which would be an important ruling.
Absolutely. And that's the one thing I'm scratching my head a little bit about. You know, obviously the government is going to appeal this decision to get rid of these cases based upon the procedural infirmities. He had this hearing last week and he said, I'm going to issue an order on these issues. I don't know. I've never seen this again. Unprecedented our time. I hope he issues something. And I hope it's not down the road. Can you dismiss a case twice or three times, right? At what point do you say we've had enough? Again, we live in an America where things are put on their head.
We are in new terrain, unfortunately. But Jim Santel, thanks so much for clarifying issues and for your wonderful amicus, a law review. Looking forward to talking with you again sometime soon.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Good. Have a good day. Take care.
You too. You're listening to the John and Gordy Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for them. We'll be back with the director of the Wings Raptor Center right after the break. We'll talk birds.
Thank you, Jim, again, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Very good, Dom. Well, good. And again, I'll send you a note just confirming. But yeah, I'll be back here hopefully by about 3 o'clock, 3:15 or so for the 3:30 segment or segments.
Perfect, Jim. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Have a good morning. Take care, my friend.
Yeah. Yep. Take care.
Thanks, Matt. Good. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
We got a couple nice texts too.
We did. Yeah, we could talk about that. That was a good segment, man.
Yeah. Right. I don't know where Kathleen is.
Was that them that walked into the studio?
Oh, I don't know. Did someone walk in?
Someone walked in, but I was doing something, so let me check.
I'm going to Birdland, Birdland, in Wisconsin. I'm going to Birdland. I have reason to believe that we all will be received in Birdland. I'm going to Birdland, Birdland, in Wisconsin. I'm going to Birdland, Birdland.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for John and Gordy in the morning. The guys will be back this afternoon from 2 to 5 on the Civic Media Radio Network and back in their regular slot tomorrow morning. That's the new jingle we have whenever I'm guest hosting, courtesy of Sean Michael Dargan, the bow-tied guitar player and musician-songwriter here in Madison. Thanks for that, Sean. Really appreciate it. This half hour, we're going to be talking about birds for a while, and then at the end, I've got an incredible poem by Joy Harjo, who is the former poet laureate of the United States, terrific poet. She writes about the importance of the kitchen table and giving thanks, so I think you'll like that coming up to Thanksgiving. But right now, I'm thrilled to have in the studio with me Kathy Dineline, who is the founder and director of the Wings Raptor Center in Cambridge here, just 20 miles away. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
How was the drive in, first and foremost, because the fog's been so bad?
Very bad. It was very foggy this morning. Yes, I had a difficult time seeing the road, but I made it.
Oh, I'm glad you did. But that's a caution for anyone who's just getting up or just getting into your car, especially if you're outside of downtown Madison. Downtown Madison is okay, but the rural areas, and I came in on 14 south of town. It was really tough getting on the side roads and then merging onto the big roads. So take your time out there. Drive carefully. So tell me, you founded the Wings Raptor Center within the last year. Why did you take such a plunge?
It's a challenge, but I'm always up for a challenge. I've been interested in birds, especially raptors, since I moved to Wisconsin. I'm actually was born and raised in New Jersey. Didn't have much contact or visual experiences with raptors. In 2018, I decided that I wanted to volunteer at the Dane County Humane Society Wildlife Center, and that's where I began my journey. Began with songbirds, and then I started to train in raptors, and I fell in love. I just fell in love with them. They are the most beautiful, majestic birds that you can ever experience and watch. And I decided then that I would eventually get licensed and become a rehabilitator. And that was my goal, and I accomplished that goal.
Well, congratulations, accomplishing a dream. Now, for those who aren't familiar, a raptor is a bird of prey. It's a hawk, it's an eagle, it's an owl.
Owl.
And a falcon, too?
Falcon, vulture, okay, as well.
And what birds do you have right now at the Raptor Center or have been brought in at the Raptor Center since you opened?
I don't have any at the moment. I recently opened in September, and my first bird that I had was a juvenile red-tailed hawk.
And how did that come to you?
Actually, it was from a former customer. My husband and I ran a boarding kennel for 29 years, and we decided to close the kennel and open up the Raptor Center. So it was a former customer. She called and said that the hawk was down on the side of the road and was unable to fly. And I told her immediately that I would come out and pick up the bird. And obviously, it wasn't able to fly. It was very weak. It was dehydrated, had internal, external parasites, a chest wound, which indicated that could have been possibly hit by a car or a moving vehicle. It was slightly emaciated, was anemic, and so I took the bird in, and I was able to rehabilitate the bird and able to release it in October.
So tell me about the release. That must have been thrilling.
It was the most incredible experience that you can ever have. have released wildlife before, and this was for the Wildlife Center. So I've had experience with birds and squirrels and turtles and all kinds of things. But when you're releasing an animal that you actually helped to get to the point of release, it's exhilarating. It is like no other feeling that you can be expressed. It was like pure joy to see this bird go back into its natural habitat and to be able to be free again.
Now, there are a lot of birds of prey coming into Wisconsin in the winter. I've seen a lot of reports of snowy owls, for instance. There was a snowy owl near McFarland reported in the last week. A couple others in the Madison area, a lot around the state. They're coming down, and a lot of them are malnourished. They're coming down because the food supply is low in Canada, and they're trying to get more food down here that they can't find up there. What is your advice for people when they see a snowy owl? Because I don't want people to scare the owl when it's trying to hunt.
I think with any bird of prey that is down on the ground or any bird of prey that you can get close to, you want to give them space. You do. I have a telephoto lens on my camera, which allows me to get up close and personal with this bird, but I am several feet away from it. And you always want to make sure that you do not get real close to a bird that is compromised, a bird that is down on the ground. There's a reason for that. The birds that are coming, especially the snowy owls that come in, they are looking for food. If you scare them, you are going to cause great fear for them. Humans are predators, and you have to keep that in mind. They don't look at you as somebody friendly and someone willing to help them. They don't know that. So you want to give them space so that they're able to hunt and do the things that they need to do in order to survive.
There are also reports of golden eagles coming into Wisconsin. They come down from Canada. There was a report of a golden eagle in Dane County. I saw just yesterday out toward Blue Mound State Park. And that is a majestic bird. It's a little bit bigger than the bald eagle. You won't see it fishing. They like rodents and rabbits and things like that. Spectacular bird, though. And for a while there weren't reports of golden eagles in Wisconsin. People didn't think they came down here in the winter, but there's more and more sightings. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know if they'll come, if you'll get a wounded one. That would be amazing to have one at your Raptor Center, wouldn't it?
It would. Unfortunately, I do not take eagles.
Why is that?
Eagles are a separate permit.
Oh, really?
They are, yes. I take hawks and owls, kestrels, and birds of that sort. But yes, eagles are a separate licensing. Eagles are a little bit more temperamental. They're a little bit more, they need more space. So right now, my center has space for those species that I just had mentioned, and it would be unethical to take a bird that needs a larger space.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to get in the way of that golden eagle either.
No.
You got to make sure you must have really thick gloves to handle those hawks, right?
Yes.
How do you do that, and how do you protect yourself against the beak, too?
Okay, for handling a raptor, you do need leather gloves, and that's one of the things that you're taught, in rehabilitation. You're taught how to handle the bird. You're taught how to read the bird. There's different methods of picking it up. You can do a leg grab. You can do, like, a towel to cover the bird and cover the head. And most times it's a little bit easier to cover the head so that they don't have a visual, and it keeps them calmer. So, yes, leather gloves are unnecessary, equipment.
Have you ever been mauled by a bird?
No, I haven't.
That's fortunate.
Yes, it is very fortunate.
Hey, we got a text from Chris in Sun Prairie. Chris saw a snowy owl in late July last year. That's odd. In Sun Prairie, completely white. Is that normal? it's normal for the male. The male snowy owls are the completely white ones, correct? The female and immature have black bars, stripes on them. So, yes, the snowy owl, if it's all white, it's a male. It's an adult male, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, that's highly unusual that it would be here that time of year, because usually they try to migrate back up north. But who knows? I mean, things change. They're unexpected. You may see like a species that isn't normally in this general area. I've seen songbirds that aren't in this general area, such as like a rufous hummingbird that was here a couple years ago.
So this is a very aggressive little hummingbird, about the size of a regular ruby-throated hummingbird. But it's rusty-colored.
Rusty-colored.
And usually it will come late in the season, late September or October is when they occasionally migrate through our parts. You'll see it out west in Colorado, in Oregon.
Right.
But rarely get to see him here. That's a fun bird to see. I've never seen him in Wisconsin.
They're beautiful.
Do you have a favorite songbird?
I have many. Oh, geez. It's really hard to say because I actually volunteer at the Biocor Prairie during the summer months from April to October, and I do bird banding. So I have many, many different types of songbirds that I have handled and banded. And
what's that banding experience like?
It's actually really neat because, again, you get to be up close to examine the bird. You're actually looking for morphological measurements. You're looking for molt patterns and things like that. So being able to see birds like molting and changing and being...
How do you trap them to...
Oh, we set up mist nets. And the mist nets, they fly into the mist net, and then we extract them. And then we, like I said, do morphological measurements, and then we try to age them and sex them and try to determine, what stage of life they're in. And then we put a band on them and release them. And the purpose of that is to try to, see what birds are returning to the area. Because there are natural grasses and things like that that they're attracted to. And we do get birds that return to the area that have been banded previously. So we can also track if they're, what age they are, like 2, 3, 4 years down the road.
We only have about a minute left. I want you to let our listeners know where the Wings Raptor Center is and how they might help.
Wings Raptor Center is located in Cambridge, and it's on my home property. You can go to www.wingsraptorcenter.org, and you can also look me up on the Facebook page at Wings Raptor Center. And if you'd like to help, there's a donation page. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And anything you can do would be helpful. Thank you so much.
Well, that's terrific. That's Kathy Dineline of the Wings Raptor Center. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing for John and Gordy on their show, and I'll be right back with a Joy Harjo poem you're not going to want to miss. Flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go, rock and robin. Rock and robin. Go, rock and robin, because we're really going to rock tonight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning, Matt Rothschild. I'm John and Gordy in the morning show. John and Gordy are out, of course. I've been with you all morning, really enjoying the opportunity to talk politics and talk birds with you and with our guests. It's fun to be with you, Dom, as always. We've gotten a couple texts. Tom in Hartford wanted to talk about the peewee bird. The peewee is a little flycatcher. Eastern wood peewee is the bird that we have around here. Looks a lot like the Phoebe, which people know a little better. We also had some texters texting in about the conversation we were having with Jim Santel about U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan saying that she should lose her license. Couldn't agree more with you on that. Pam Bondi should lose her license, too, for that matter. I mean, one of the things that Jim Santel talked about, all the lawyers leaving the Justice Department, those are probably smarter lawyers than the ones that are remaining. And so the Trump lawyers are so incompetent that they're getting in their own way. I've thought for a long time that we're going to survive the Trump administration because of their incompetence from above and because of nonviolent resistance from below. And I think that's how we're going to get through all of this. I wanted to also bring in a little poetry. Every time I'm on, I'd like to talk about politics, birds, and a little bit of poetry. Joy Harjo has been a favorite poet of mine for a long time. I published her. I was had the privilege to publish her at the Progressive Magazine when I was the editor and publisher there a long time ago. And then she became, you know, many years later, a poet laureate. She has this amazing poem that I found the other day. I was looking for poems of gratitude and thanks for the Thanksgiving holiday. And so we have this poem called Perhaps the World Ends Here. I don't love the title because it sounds so catastrophic.
Tense, yeah.
Yeah. But the poem itself is uplifting, as you will hear. So let's. This is Joy Harjo in her own words reading this poem.
Give me a second.
Yeah, it's fine. She is a wonderful person. She does music, too. She plays the saxophone. She has music albums and poetry albums and all sorts of fun stuff. So we will get to her in a second. And while Dom's looking for it, I want to thank the guests that we've had on today. Deborah Cronmiller, Executive Director at the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Lisa Bernard of the Humane Society, Kathy Deinlein, who used to work at the Humane Society, we found out, and now does the Wings Raptor Center out in Cambridge, and Jim Santel, of course, who is the host of Amicus, a law review. He is a real gem, and Civic Media is lucky to have him. So we will try to find this poem for you.
Still getting to it, sorry.
That's all right. And, yeah, if you want to give us a call, 608-879-8255, you can do that, too. You've got it now for us, Dom. Let's rip and read.
Perhaps the world ends here. The world begins at a kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it. Babies teethe at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instructions on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. At this table we gossip, recall enemies and the ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us as they put their arms around our children. They laugh with us at our poor, falling down selves, and as we put ourselves back together once again at the table. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at this table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth on this table, and have prepared our parents for burial here. At this table we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at the kitchen table, while we are laughing and crying, eating of the last sweet bite.
That's Joy Harjo, poet laureate Joy Harjo, reading her poem, Perhaps the World Ends Here. It's a poem about the kitchen table. It's a poem also about gratitude and thanks. And we'll be gathering, all of us, for Thanksgiving. I'm grateful. I want to give thanks to my wife of 40 years. I give thanks to my children and my friends and my brothers and sisters. I want to give thanks to Dom, who's so much fun to work with. Dom is a freshly minted engineer straight out of UW Oshkosh.
Oh, yeah.
Came to Civic Media, in June and has just been terrific to work with, both when I get to guest host, as I have today on the John and Gordy Show, and also he is the producer and engineer for the podcast Wisconsin Forward that I do for Civic Media, and that's where we interviewed all those gubernatorial candidates, so you can check that out if you're interested at civicmedia.us, Wisconsin Forward podcast. It's been a fun show today, Dom. It's been fun doing it.
It really has. It really has. I've enjoyed it, and I always enjoy when you come in, Matt. I really appreciate it, and we appreciate all you do for Civic Media and WMDX.
Just grateful for the opportunity. Thankful to Sage Weil and Catherine Lake for inviting me in the door and letting me get behind the mic when I can. Grateful to John and Gordy for giving me this opportunity. It's always fun working with those guys.
They're probably still sleeping.
They're such radio pros. I learn something from them every time I'm on. I want to thank all the texters and callers and all the listeners. You guys make the show. We wouldn't be here without you. So thanks for listening. Thanks for commenting. Thanks for being a part of Civic Media and the John and Gordy Show. And everybody, have a nice Thanksgiving. It's been fun being with you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.